This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
All right. Welcome to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. Oh, my God.
What?
This is like such a special day.
It is.
I'm going to cry. Should I cry?
Yeah, okay.
Wait, let me ask you a question. Now, is it okay for men to cry nowadays or not?
Yes.
I just need to know. Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to cry like a bitch right now.
Absolutely.
So, oh, my God. All right, so here's the deal, right? As Rich, Mary Goulet, Rich Ote, and Hash, White Wade walking around somewhere, Cody Parker, Chardonnay. Damn, she did it. Oh, man, I can't
she
wait for next hour.
Job.
Holy moly of God. All right, so here's what's going to happen.
I laughed so hard.
Oh, my God. So this is a very special day. First and foremost, this episode that we're doing right now is actually, as Rich pointed out, our last double-digit episode, which means this is episode 99.
I like that.
Man. I like that. Very cool. So, Rich, do that rendition one more time. We're going to party like
it's... We're going to party like it's 1999.
Nice. Mary, you got that?
Yeah.
And
it's St. Patrick's Day.
All right, so here's the deal.
Okay,
it is St. Patrick's Day. We're going to hear Letty Fun. The next episode, oh my God, our 100th episode, we got a really special something coming up for that, so that's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be funny.
Wow. Okay, so for all of you who have been rating and reviewing and subscribing to the podcast and joining us here live, thank you so much for that. We love you. Make sure you send an email to Kelly at steveulscher.com. And let her know when you rate and review and subscribe to the podcast, because we got a little something special for you. And you'll just have to find out what that is when you email Kelly. And when Kelly tells me what it is, then I'll be able to tell you guys what it is as well, because I really have no clue. But, you know, I trust Kelly. Implicitly, I trust Kelly.
Did you bring some green beer?
I brought a lot of green. I don't know if I would call it beer, but let's just say it's
oh, brother.
You got...
Oh, my gosh. I am so slow.
Oh, Mary.
It's your go-to thing.
It's green.
Did you just see the look of gullibility on my face?
It doesn't have...
I didn't even have to look over it. I felt it.
No seeds, no stems, no twigs, no berries, right? By the way. Oh, man. Okay, very cool. So, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Right,
and it is St. Patrick's Day, and we got Doberman Dan coming on. That'll be a lot of fun. I don't know if you know Doberman Dan or not, Mary, but that's going to be some good quality fun there.
Yeah.
And you'll learn why very, very, very quickly. Okay, so first and foremost, as you said, it is St. Patrick's Day. And let me ask you a question. I'm a Jew. I don't know any of these things. You know, saints to me are like, the only saints I know, you know, are like St. Ides, right? You know St. Ides, right? The saint of malt liquor, right?
Oh, brother. Mother Teresa is going to be canonized.
I don't even know what that means. Is that
a
good thing?
She's going to become a saint. Yes, they're going to make her a saint.
Wait, she wasn't already? They call her... Oh, they call
she
her mother.
Like
they call her Mother Teresa.
She just acted like one.
Well, that's going to change everything now. I don't know if I'm not really comfortable calling her Saint Teresa now.
They have
like
mother two
just
miracles
works.
Attributed to her.
Which was?
I don't know.
Yeah, me neither. See,
I saw this on the news
Wikipedia.
Yesterday.
Right, and I thought I was a bad Catholic, and I'm Jewish. So, you know, you're supposed to know these miracle
things. Yeah, I have
thingies.
Favorite saints, yeah.
All right, so here's the deal. Do you know this, so that St. Patrick actually was not even Irish?
Oh, no.
Did you know that, Rich? Did you know that? I didn't know that either. By the way, speaking of buzz, do you know in Chicago they start at like 8 a.m. and they die at the River Green? Yeah. Have you
Absolutely.
Ever been there for that?
No, but I know they start
So I was there
early.
For 44 years. That was good quality fun. All right. So basically, Patrick was a nobleman born in about 400 A.D., and he was kidnapped by Irish pirates at the age of 16. Who knew such things? He was born into a religious family. But he was an atheist early in his life. Can you imagine being an atheist and then all of a sudden...
In Ireland?
Would you stop calling me a saint? I'm like, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in you people. But he did rediscover his faith later. And he was a slave for 17 years. No wonder he drank so damn much. He was like, fuck this, man. Give me a drink. Holy hell. I've been a slave for 17 years. And then he decided, okay, I'm going to return as a missionary. Okay, so there we go. So basically,
we know the pot of gold, too, from the pirates then.
That makes sense. So now I totally get it.
I never got that.
So they don't even know if he died in Ireland. So Lord only knows how on earth he got, like, how did he even become, like, credited with this whole thing? That's kind of interesting. So, speaking of Chicago, do you know anything about dying the river? Do you know the backstory at all?
No.
Me neither, but I read. But this is the beauty of I lived there for 44 years.
And you never knew.
Right. This is the beauty of top stories from USA Today. All right. So basically, they dye the river, right, as you know, green. And it's pretty damn cool. Now, the butler and the Rowan families, those clans, are responsible for turning the murky water bright green, and they've done it for more than 50 years. Now, I don't know if you've seen it, but basically it's like six people in a little boat, right?
Uh-huh.
So it's six people in a little boat, and they get this orange powder. It's like a top secret recipe, and they go through the river, and they like dump out this powder, which makes it green, which turns it that crazy green, almost like your shirt. And for those who are listening to the podcast, I'm just going to tell you, it's a really nice, bright, lime, greenish shirt here.
Yes.
It's really pretty. Okay, so, but the only way...
She was waiting for something right? to come.
No, that's all I got. It's really pretty shirt.
Right?
I like it.
She's
I got
like,
nothing.
What's he going to say? What's he going to say?
But the only way to become part of the six-person boat crew is to be related by blood or marriage to either Mike Butler or Tom Rowan. Interesting. Interesting. So, you know, you talk
and
about...
the city let them do that.
Do you know Chicago?
There's probably right. cleaning up toxic
Mafia,
sludge or something.
Oh, my God. To say that Chicago is a bit incestuous in terms of its politics would be just a wee little bit of an understatement,
okay.
right? So, clearly, there are a select few, and if you know anything about Chicago, it is heavily Irish. Big, big,
yes.
big Irish community. As a matter of fact, actually, I'm half Polish, half Russian. The Polish community in Chicago is second to that of only, guess, what city? What city?
You're pressuring me.
What city in Poland would have the most Polish people? Oh, my God. We're really playing geography? We're going to have to play geography. You don't
hey,
know either?
I'm holding back.
What's the major city of?
She's already asked me
Kelly,
to not pick on her for the math
blooper
one.
Cue so. For next
oh my
the 200th
God.
Episode.
Chicago has the second largest Polish population, only to Warsaw
okay,
in
okay.
Poland.
Oh,
Warsaw.
Oh,
you
man.
People.
What do you mean, you people?
You're
looking at her.
Right?
I could have
said,
jeez.
All right, fine.
I thought it was pick
oh,
on.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, so here's the deal.
Math and geography.
All right, so where do you think they first celebrated St. Patrick's Day? Like, name a couple cities where you think they first celebrated. And you know one of them. The first cities where they celebrated. That is one of them. Where else? Where would be like the most obvious?
Warsaw and Chicago.
I feel like I'm on Family Feud.
Right, I know.
And I'm
we
getting
do
the wrong
that.
Answers.
And ding. Yeah, right. All right. So, Boston, right?
Boston,
of course.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
of course. Okay. Boston. And then I don't know how in the world this happened, but Charleston, South Carolina, and Savannah, Georgia. Those were among the first to do parades. And interestingly enough, I didn't even realize it went back this far. That's how silly I am, evidently.
Yes, you're so silly.
And stupid is another word, evidently, because I didn't realize it went back this far. New York City hosted the first St. Patrick's Day parade in what year? Guess.
Wait a
1892.
Minute.
Wait
okay.
a minute. It's all starting to make sense. These are all just drinking holidays. No wonder we got liquor.com as a sponsor.
Liquor.com is the official
they're
sponsor.
They're all just drinking. Like, the more you're talking, I'm like, these cities,
it's starting
they're
to make
all
a lot
like
of sense.
To party.
Exactly.
They all, like, okay.
It
going.
All ties together. All right, what year, Rich, what year do you think was the first St. Patrick's Day parade in New York City?
Oh, man. 1895.
That's what I would have thought. 1762.
Whoa.
1762.
They've been drinking for a while.
Yeah.
Wait, but and all I want to was like, how do they even keep a record of that? Because, like, they didn't have, what did they do, like, chisel it into, like, you know, the caves? Did they even have, like,
yeah,
pen
they
and
just
paper
got,
in 1762?
They just got paper a few years later in 1776.
Oh, that's true, right?
Yeah.
They took
so
them
they
a, good,
a few years to get some paper.
Right, took them a good 50 years to figure out, maybe we should write some of this shit down. All right.
Where's the memory guy?
Where's the memory guy? See, I bet you Farrell would know, right?
There
check out
go.
That Reinventing Improved Memory. That was an interesting show. Actually, I think we're going to be talking about that in our 100th episode a little bit. Okay, so Guinness beer, right?
Yep.
Talking about Guinness beer. Now, on a typical day, how many pints of Guinness beer do you think are consumed by Americans? Not English, not Irish, nothing like that. In America, about how many pints
a day
are consumed of Guinness? What do you think? What do you think? What do you think?
A day. Okay.
3
okay.
million.
What do you think? What do you think?
I'm thinking. 480,000.
Wow, you're really close. You're really, really close. So, and it's funny because you're almost dead on with that. So 600,000 pints of Guinness on a regular day. And on St. Patrick's Day?
That's what I was.
3 million.
Yeah. That's the exact number they use.
I was thinking ahead, right?
We are so smart, Rich.
We're one person.
Yeah.
<That's> sweet. The superhero between the two of us.
And Rich is personally responsible for about 100,000 of those pints. So, you know, thank you for your contributions there.
You're welcome.
All right. And by the way, do you know that when you pour beer, do you know how to pour beer so it doesn't become like crazy frothy? Do you know?
Tilt the glass.
Do you know that degrees? Like how much do you want to tilt it about?
Like that.
That's about 45 degrees. Exactly. And there you go. And so analysts are predicting that 13 million pints of Guinness will be consumed today. On St. Patrick's Day. Pretty damn cool.
How many will get carpal tunnel from tilting all those?
I know, right?
Two cases of carpal tunnel.
Well, isn't today also that March basketball thing?
March
Madness.
That one.
Yeah.
By the way, we'll do this on the next show, but the amount of productivity in the workplace that is lost due to March Madness is like, it's insane. It's like in the billions of hours and billions of dollars. It's nuts.
Other than the printers getting a lot of activity from everyone printing out the pools that they've done.
The 64 people, whatever the tourney thing is.
The brackets.
All right, so here's the deal. So I brought...
The good news is for everybody here,
I brought Guinness. So we're going to be drinking some Guinness. And I brought corned beef and cabbage. It's St. Patrick's Day. Yeah, don't sit on this side of the room because that's not where you're going to want to be after the corned beef and cabbage.
Oh, great. We're all on that side.
Yeah, and enclosed room. We're going to be on with Doberman Dan on Reinvention Radio here right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Olscher.
All right. Welcome back to another edition. I'm just going to keep doing that like every time
we come back.
The beginning of every show and then the return from every break. All right. So I must say on the break there, I took part of the Greenwich festivities, which was awesome. And Rich and I threw down some Guinness, which is awesome. And I have become Pavlov's dog in the studio, as I was telling you there, because like literally for the last, I don't know, month or so, our sponsor, Lay's Potato Chips, has been sending us huge, huge boxes of
sour cream and onion.
Yeah, sour cream and onion potato chips, which we love. So, Lay's, thank you so much for being our sponsor. And since you're not officially our sponsor, would you please be our sponsor and send us lots of Lay's potato chips to go along here with our Guinness and our other fun stuff. All right, so here's where we get somebody on the show who actually has something to talk about that's worth listening to, because all of, like, my Jewish, you know, people, they were like, yeah, man, we don't really care about St. Patrick's Day. We don't know anything about that. Although I must say, because it's like my wife was like, you know, today's St. Patrick's Day. I was like, you know, I don't care. Right. It's like we don't care. We're Jews. We're like, go ahead. Have your fun. It's like do you guys celebrate when we have Passover? Do you celebrate when we have Rosh Hashanah? Exactly.
No.
See? Exactly. Do you? All right. How about this?
I told you it's a beer drinking day.
That's every day.
That's where I'm.
Cinco de Mayo isn't Mexican.
All right.
Let's bring
Dan up here, because I'm sure Dan has some. Dan, are you drinking green beer right now?
Well, I was earlier. I started at 7 a.m.
Good.
Because, you know, that's just the tradition. And I've got green on that because I planned it. I just got my white wife beater on it.
Nice.
And after about 3 hours of drinking green beer, I puked on it. So, you know, I'm in the festive mood. I'm wearing green. I'm drinking green beer. I'm ready.
Yeah. All right. So the good news is we have an open seat in the studio. You're going to fit right in here anytime you want to drop by. Nice. All right. So Dan is...
You would have told me you had Guinness... and corned beef and cabbage, I would have been there.
Oh, man.
See, right. That's the way we get them in the studio.
We got to bribe people with
food.
Yeah,
totally.
All right, wait, Dan, where are you, though? Like, logistically, like, where are you on this in this world?
I'm in a little town called Ocala, Florida, which you probably never heard of, but you may have passed through it on the way to Disney World,
right.
Going down 75.
That's so funny. I thought you were doing like the St. Patrick's Day Irish thing. I thought you were going to talk. I'm in this little town called Old California. I was like, Old California. I was like, Oh, California. Old California. I was like, Oh, man. All right. So there you go. This little town. All right. So very cool. So for those that don't know you, you go by Doberman Dan, which I think is like probably the best like nickname ever. If I'm going to be a Dan, I think, you know, because the other D's that rhyme or would, you know, from an alliteration standpoint, there's not a lot of D's that you could really work with that are going to be something you would want to have in front of your name. Usually, you know, it's you know where I'm going with this. All right, so Doberman Dan, probably the best nickname for a Dan ever. Tell people a little bit about, you know, who you are and what you do. And then what on earth is the word that you threw at us in terms of the name of this episode? Because that is a name I have. Did you recognize that word, Mary? Because I don't even know that word.
So neurohormone,
something like that.
Yeah,
all right.
So many errors.
I know.
It's hard to say.
All right, we'll have to let Dan tell us all about it. All right, so for those who don't know you, Doberman Dan, sure, kind of give us the once over here.
Who I really am is just a dude, a frustrated musician. That's all I wanted to be.
Yep.
Was a professional musician, but I found out I got two bad habits I need to support and could not do that as a professional musician. I like to sleep indoors and eat regularly and not be out of dumpsters. So I had to figure out something that, you know, my skill set I could use to make some money with. And after stumbling through a whole bunch of careers, I stumbled upon direct response marketing and copywriting, writing direct response copy, which is basic. All of copywriting is salesmanship.
Wait. So for those who don't know what you mean by direct response, what exactly does that mean?
Okay. Yeah, glad you brought that up. So
because Wade was looking at us. Wade was like, I'm not sure I know what that is. So this is basically for Wade. So please explain.
Okay, for Wade. Here we go. Image advertising is the stuff you like see in Time magazine where it might have some picture of a naked chick hanging from the moon and all the shit that makes no sense whatsoever.
So you've
and
seen
then, like one
you, you've
big...
seen my vision board.
that's, a naked chick hanging from the moon.
That's all I have.
Funny, I got the same damn thing on my vision board too.
So sorry, we digress.
Ads, you know, they have nothing to do with the product. You know, it'll have like one big word that says something. I don't know, whatever. Imagine, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's an advert of all things, like maybe Toyota or
mm-hmm.
something.
Mm-hmm.
And the hope is you run that enough, people will, you know, think, oh, that's a cool ad. Maybe I'll buy a Toyota one day. Direct response advertising, is an ad that asks for a response. You know, it says, hey, we sell mini donkeys, and mini donkeys make great pets because they're smaller than regular donkeys, and they're faithful like a dog, and their shit's easier to clean up. So if you're interested in getting a free information pack on mini donkeys, call 1-800-YADA-YADA-YADA, and then you get the information pack about mini donkeys, which
great.
Is a sales pitch in print, you know, and tells you, here, send your check here, and we'll ship your mini donkey. So that's what direct response
hey, we're gonna
marketing
sneak,
is.
We're going to sneak some of episode 99 into episode 100
for sure. We're going to figure out how to do that.
Because that was too classic of a quote.
I was wondering what the box was, actually, when I first walked in the studio with the holes in
it.
I kept hearing the notice of mini donkey in that box. Oh, man. All right. So you stumbled upon direct response because you decided, I like eating and I like living in an actual place that has a roof. And so how did you become, like, good at this? What was your first? I mean, because direct response, I got to tell you, it's super hard. People who are good at it make it look so damn easy. But having the right words in the right order, say the right thing to move people to take action, that is a skill. And it's a skill that so many people think they have, but very, very few actually do. So kind of take us back through the origin then when you started just dancing in the space.
I found this guy named Dan Kennedy. I know you know who he is,
yeah,
Steve, right?
Yeah.
So I bought, you know him also, Mary?
Yes, I do. Oh, I went to one of his events a long time ago.
Nice.
Well, he's a legend in copywriting and direct marketing. And I bought this kit from him called the Magnetic Marketing System because, I never told you this, Steve, I was a cop for 12 years.
Wow.
So 9 of those, I realized that I didn't want to do that very long. And so 9 of those 12 years, I kept trying to start these traditional businesses before I found direct marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they all crashed and burned miserably. And I found this Dan Kennedy guy, and he was selling this thing called the Magnetic Marketing Kit. And it said it had an advertising system that would, save your business. So I bought it to save whatever business was crashing and burning at the time. And I bought this thing, and it's delivered, and it's a 3-ring binder of paper and cassette tapes, which totally dates me.
Right.
And I paid $400 for it. I thought, wait a minute, this is way cooler than what I'm doing. He just sent me a letter in the mail, and I sent him $400, and he sent me back maybe $5 worth of paper and cassette.
Wow. That's a fair exchange.
I totally ripped off that model, and I was into bodybuilding big time at the time. I ripped off his model and used it to sell a self-published bodybuilding course.
Wow.
And nice.
That's how I started.
Nice.
So you were one of the 5% of attendees that actually did something from a seminar.
Right? You buy something. Most people don't do anything.
Dust.
Yeah, exactly. You go there and they're seminar junkies or they're shelf-help type, junkies or they're shiny object junkies. They buy all this stuff and then so few people do it. You're right. I mean, it's probably in the single
5%.
Digits. Is that the number?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you would know better than I. So you bit that. You said, hey, I'm going to turn this over and put it into the bodybuilding arena. And did you have success from the get-go? Were you able to sell, $400 worth of stuff off of a single, direct mail piece?
It was very modest success. It was success from the get-go, which was pretty nice because the previous 9 years of all kinds of traditional businesses I kept trying to start left me pretty humiliated. So I had modest success. It was about a year later that I was making enough of an income to replace my job income, which actually wasn't much income, but at least it got me free from a job I had started to hate.
Yeah. Well, and so, and reality is it's probably, although I guess it depends on the client, but in I'm thinking just hypothetically here, but I'm thinking that it's probably a lot safer to be a copywriter than a cop. I mean, you basically decided, I'm just going to
add
a lot more,
letters.
Right? I was like, yeah, this cop is like way too short. I have much more skill than that.
Yeah,
so I'm going to be a copywriter.
Instead of a copycat criminal.
So,
well, one of my sergeants told me, and I was inspired by this with my copywriting at the time. One of my sergeants told me, he said, Dan, one of these old grizzled guys, have been there since the 50s, the pine bar mustache, and twirling his mustache.
That's Wade. You're describing Wade. Awesome.
His Wade got a handlebar mustache? Yeah.
not on his face.
Oh, brother.
Now that's art.
Oh, man.
So all right. Sergeant used to tell me, you should be a fiction writer based on this arrest report. So I thought, yeah, okay, writing.
Yeah, and it's funny, too, because I know for a fact, because I have, I used to do Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu for a lot of years and train in mixed martial arts and whatnot, trained with a lot of cops and CIA guys and Secret Service and that sort of thing. And they would spend so much damn time on the copywriting in terms of issuing the tickets and the citations and like this, that, and the other. They were actually some pretty skilled writers by the time they got out of the force and decided I'm going to go right. And they had to be a storyteller, right?
Yeah.
This happened here, this happened then, this happened then. And so anyway, yeah, pretty damn funny how you never know how some of those skills that you acquire, right, on one job are going to lead to helping you in another. All right, so let's do this, Mary. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back. And I got a lot of questions here for Doberman Dan on Reinvention Radio.
were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're at a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulcher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many get on the right path and be clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step for realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting TheReinventionWorkshop.com today. No more delays, no more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to TheReinventionWorkshop.com. That's TheReinventionWorkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulcher.
All right, welcome back to another edition here of Reinvention Radio with your host, Steve Ulcher, along with Mary Willet, Rich Ote. It's like, I love how it rhymes. Mary Willet, Rich Ote, White Wade, Kelly Coker. there's a song, actually, that's really popular on the radio. It's like, you know, basically talking about how his lyrics don't have to rhyme. And so there we go. So we just end our rhymes with Mary Willet, Rich Ote, and then it's White Wade and Kelly Coker. All right, we'll have to figure the rest of that out. All right, so before the break, and we had to so rudely cut off our main man, Doberman Dan, let's bring him back on because Dan was talking a lot about, you know, copywriting and direct response and so on and how he got into this world. Now, I'm sure there's a lot more story here, Dan, but let's do this because ultimately, as I said, copywriting is a skill. It's not nearly as easy as people think it is, and direct response is even more of a skill. So take us through a couple of ideas around, first and foremost, like headlines, right? Because they say, you know, more than anything else, you have to grab people's attention, right? So take us through what you recommend people do to grab that attention.
You're right. You got to grab attention, which is getting harder and harder these days with right. all the noise we got, you know, everything online and the smartphones. You know, one of the lessons that took me the longest time to figure out was it really doesn't matter. I mean, I could be the best writer in the world. I could be a freaking Hemingway, you know, a copywriting Hemingway, if mm-hmm. there's such a thing. Mm-hmm. If I don't nail the big idea, if I don't know what my market, and markets are just groups of people, so sure. you got to understand people. In basic human nature. If I don't understand their fears, their wants, their desires, their lusts, you know, and I don't figure that out and have some empathy about it, actually, like, step in their shoes and feel what they're feeling, if I don't get that right, then it doesn't matter what I write. It's just mm-hmm. not going to connect. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the headline, before you even figure out the headline, it's figuring out the big idea. You know, mm-hmm. what is the biggest fear that we can solve with this product or service? You know, what is the biggest desire? And then, well,
hold on 1 second, because I want to talk about that. So do you believe that sort of playing into that fear is going to be equally or more powerful or less powerful than tapping into their aspirations, right? Because it's like, you know, whenever I see those ADD commercials, right, where they're talking about, you know, they show the burglar breaking in the house and they're like, your family is fucked, you know? And I'm like, oh, shit, I need to get ADT, like, right now. So I'm like, that works for me. But, I mean, historically, if they were like, you know, and they showed a sleeping baby and you want your baby to stay sleeping
and
comfortable.
That does not do a call to action.
Well, that's what I'm wondering, right? Because, so talk about, like, addressing that fear versus more of sort of the aspirational elements of the headline and getting that attention.
That's a really good observation, because fear is like an extremely powerful emotion and motivator. But what I've discovered, and you know, most copywriters who have been writing this stuff for a while, we've discovered fear is like maybe a seasoning in the meal. A little bit will do. You put too much on, and it puts people in, back on the police department days, I called it amygdala hijack. The lizard brain takes over, like the deer in the headlights thing, and they don't take action.
Okay.
So if you're going to use fear, you better know how much to use, mm-hmm. you know, where to use it, and you got to transition into some hope, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess if you use too much fear, then they can get the sense that you're trying to manipulate them by scaring them into your product. So, okay, anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so yeah. Can we do a specific subject line for
you mean
me?
Like for Mary Goulet?
Yes.
So we're getting free
advice.
Copywriting and direct response advice for Mary Goulet. Dan, send the bill to Mary Goulet at 3624. Right, yeah.
Right.
What is it? Go ahead.
Okay, can I ask you, Dan, a specific question about it?
Yes, please.
Okay, I have a vacation rental property, and I have a list of about 1,000 names of people who have inquired and or stayed at my property. So I want to stay in front of them. And I'm always trying to figure out, okay, there's no fear involved. They're not going to be afraid to come to town. So
they might miss the days, though, when they want to come.
Yeah, I'm trying to always come up with a catchy, come to my town, and by the way, you can stay at my place.
Wait, but these are people who already expressed interest in...
Yeah, but then they may have missed out on the date or chose another property, ultimately. And then there are people that mm-hmm. are repeat guests.
All right, let's have Dan run at it. Oh, Rich, you got something, don't you?
I was just going to say if you segmented the list down and you were talking to the people who
you're
didn't
asking
book yet,
Mary to segment and,
oh,
her
I'm sorry,
list.
A math class. sorry, Mary. But if you segment it down and you said
you
these people haven't stayed here yet, then you could play the fear by, like, don't miss out again. Like, you had your opportunity, you know, play that card.
Like the ADT commercial. They show the burglar breaking in.
But it's a different kind of fear.
Right.
All right, let us do the expert
okay,
chime
that's
in
a good
here.
Idea,
okay,
though, Rich.
I do like that idea. All right, Dan, what would you do?
That is a good idea, Rich.
Thanks, Dan.
We have no need for you now, Dan.
You know what? I was going to say, let me just say amen to that, and we can move on. No, I'm going to tell you something, Mary. This is probably the answer you don't want to hear. Because it's like the
sell your property,
right?
So, if you keep in contact with these people, you know, however it is, you get their emails or their snail mails or both or something like that.
Primarily, their emails.
Okay, so if you keep in contact with these people with a personality-based email that they get somewhat regularly, maybe a couple times a month. It's not like the fast way to do it. We all want the fast way. Like, I'm going to send one email or one direct mail piece, and boom, you know, I'm going to fill up all these rentals. Well, you'll get an initial response, but if you keep in touch, it's like a feeder system. The ones who aren't ready aren't ready. You know, who knows? 2-3 months from now, mm-hmm. they're ready. So it's not the quick solution, but it's the best solution. Like, I started a print newsletter in 2011, and these people get it every month. Now that I'm freelancing full-time, my best clients come from that. And some of them have been in this feeder system 5 years, and then, you know, they finally pop up. So I think in your case, the regularity of the communication, and communication like a real person. You don't have to write like a copywriter. Just look, you've got a great personality. Just write like Mary.
Did you hear
and
that?
Say, hey, it's Mary again.
My headphones cut out. I'm sorry, I missed that. What did you say?
He said, I have a great personality.
I'm sorry, my headphones cut out. What did you say? Yeah.
Well, you know
and,
what
a sexy voice, too.
Oh.
Oh, yes. Another
I'm
Periscope
go to Ocala.
Oh, California.
You know what I do is I send pictures of the town, the beach, the waves, things like that. So they open, they're like, oh, my gosh.
I didn't
gosh.
Hear you in any of that.
What?
Mary's Manor. I'm telling you. I love that, right?
Mary's Manor.
All right, what else you got on that, Dan? Because I know you had more. Thank you. I know you had more, though. What else were you going to say?
Well, you know, so here's one thing I discovered. It's hard to get people off the fence when there's no urgency or scarcity. So you got to create some sort of scarcity or urgency, whatever. And it has to be true. You can't lie about this. So whatever that is, we need to create some. I like one of my friends does coaching. And he's got this awesome sales page. You read all this copy, and you're like, oh, hell yeah, I want to sign up for this. And when you get to the bottom of the sign up, it's like, sorry, coaching is closed, but you can sign up on the waiting list.
Mm.
And it's genius. He builds this waiting list, and then he sends out an email every few months and says, got 2 spots open. And boom, like people jump on it right away. What he was doing previously He had the sales page, and it was always available. You could sign up for coaching anytime, mm-hmm. and he barely got a trickle of people. As soon as he started cutting it off and only opening it up sporadically, like, people jumped on it because of scarcity. Like, ooh, if I don't jump on this now, I'm going to lose out.
Yeah, that's like the, I'm blanking on the name of the study, but the rat in the cage where they put cheese no times, the rat would not go anywhere. If they put cheese all the time, the rat would eventually stop going because it would just know cheese was always there. But when they put the cheese there sometimes, that cheese was like cracked out because it was like, it might not be there next time, but it's there this time. Like, so it's a version of that. Kind of what I was saying with the days earlier, like, you got Southern California, and it's one of the best cities in Southern California. So it's like, hey, I'm not even trying to twist your arm. You're just, the dates aren't going to be there. You can play with her personality in that way, too.
Less than 60 days left in 2016 or, yeah, you know, something
they're
like that.
They're almost all gone already.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and it's interesting, too, because when you look at, you know, that whole sort of scarcity thing, I clearly have been doing it all wrong because I kind of got it right where I was like, you know, okay, basically, like, you know, if you want to consult with me, if you want to sign up for this, that, or the other, you can't because, you know, we're on waiting list right now. So, you know, go ahead and put your information in and we'll get to you when there's an opening. And then like 3 minutes later, I call them. So that's like, that's probably not the right approach, right? So I got part of it right, but not all of it right. Okay, got it.
That's funny. How did you land Lena?
You know what? It was a scarcity approach. That's how, it was an urgency and a scarcity approach. Her scarcity was like, I really need a ride somewhere. And my urgency was like, oh my God, this is my opportunity right now to go ahead and ruin the rest of her life. So it was her. It was important and it was urgent, which are like, that's so like funny. Like in the quadrants, that's not where you want to be. You don't ever want to do anything in the important and urgent quadrant, like ever. So yeah, so for me, that's where it was. For her, it was like, you know, not very important and not urgent.
Yeah, I just need a ride, dude.
And for me, it was like, let me figure out, this is my opportunity to ruin the rest of her life right now. So, okay, well, let's do this. We're gonna have to take another
more
little...
More about me in the next segment.
More about Mary in the next segment. Of course. And then we're going to talk about, let's talk about Rich Ote as well, because, you know, we just like talking about Rich. And all right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to bring Doberman Dan back on. We're going to take a little bit of a break here on Reinvention Radio. And then I got to ask Dan, I mean, I got to ask him about that word, because I still don't even know what that word means that describes this episode. So we'll be back with more Doberman Dan on Reinvention Radio right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Olscher.
All right, welcome back to another engineer for Reinvention Radio. And I finally got it down now. So we do this other show called Push Button Influence, which, by the way, is super cool. And we're giving away this amazing directory. And Doberman Dan totally has to get this one because he's going to want some of these people on his show. But we actually just created the 2016 Ultimate Directory of Influencers. And basically, it's like powerful podcasters, big-time bloggers, social media stars, 241 people who can make you famous at the push of a button. Pretty sweet, huh?
Nice.
So we're giving that away for free at pushbuttoninfluence.com/Steve. So yeah, pushbuttoninfluence.com/Steve and Steve. Yeah, and Dan's definitely going to want a copy of that. All right, bring Dan back up here because we need to talk about what in the world that word is in the what is that word? What did you describe this episode as, Dan? You gave Kelly something, and I've never heard that word before. What is it?
So did you like it, or did it make you go, what the hell?
No, I'll put totally. It to you this way. For me, it was titillating. I think we've done 99 episodes. I've never used the word titillating. I was waiting for that. Okay, there we go. Yeah. So no, I found it to be quite titillating.
Use that word a lot. You know what? I want to hear Mary say titillating.
Nope. Hey, not going to do it. Down, Dan.
All right. So that's it.
That's another comment that's going in the 200th episode.
No, you're not Doberman Dan. You're down, Dan. That's funny. All right. So what is that word exactly? So reinventing what? What did you fill in the blank with?
Okay. Listen, I gotta be totally transparent with you.
Please do.
And I'll start with a story. This little town I'm in, Ocala, when you drive into Ocala, there's a sign that says horse capital of the world. Well, you know what?
Host?
Probably the horse capital of the world is up in Kentucky.
Yeah, got it.
Yeah, horse. Listen, you pervert. H-O-R-S.
Sorry, yes, please go on.
I think the reason they can claim that title is because nobody claimed it yet. They're just like, well, nobody's claimed it. Let's just claim it. It doesn't matter if it's true. Well, like, so, you know, nobody's claimed neural hormonal copywriting.
Oh, brother.
Reinventing neural hormonal copywriting.
I like it. It kind of is like, it makes you think about the brain and emotions through copywriting.
Right. What's your take on it? Neural hormonal. What do you think of?
It's just difficult to say. You have to say it slowly. But otherwise, it kind of goes in the NLP category.
All right. So just so we're clear here. So pretty much like, you know, everything that comes out of my mouth, that word is meaningless. I just want to make sure that's what we're talking about here. Yeah. Okay. All right. Cool.
Yeah. The idea was to get across the point of, you know, the brain and the hormones. Because, like, when I was a rookie in this stuff, my little bodybuilding mail order business, that's how long ago it was. I was pre-internet days. So, like, my little sales letter was basically feature benefit kind of stuff. Like, this course, what it'll do, it'll teach you the 10x3x7 bodybuilding system, mm-hmm. you know, so you can build 20-inch arms. You know, stuff like that. Increase your bench press, you know, 25 pounds every month, that kind of stuff. And I had moderate success. And then I learned, like, listen, people don't respond to logic and feature benefits. They respond to you getting an emotional response. You know, what they really want, okay, so all of us vain guys mm-hmm. and who do bodybuilding, you know, do we really want a 20-inch arm? No. What we want is to roll up our sleeves and have hot women like Mary say, ooh, strong man, look at that big arm. So when I started, I'm just being honest, that's right. What I wanted when I started.
Really? Because
out.
Because when I was bodybuilding, by the way, I know what 10x3x7 is. Do you know what it is?
Oh, shit.
Do you know what it is, Rich?
I actually.
She thought it was a math question.
It's 20.
10 reps, 3 sets, 7 exercises, right? Because, all right, here's the deal. So when I wanted, like, big, oh, you know, 20-inch arms, I was doing it not because I wanted the girls to go, ooh, big, strong man, because I wanted the men to go, ooh, big, strong man. So, yeah, so there we go. Okay, all right, so Dan, okay, so keep going, please. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Sorry, yeah.
You know, whatever floats your boat, man. So older guys like me, they got the short man syndrome, so... You know, well, I can't grow taller, but I can grow wider. And nobody told us that when we do that, we look even shorter. So.
That's funny. All right, so you were talking about... Please go. Yep.
Yeah, when I changed the copy to focus on not just the feature benefits, but, you know, the emotional benefits of that, and get to the unspoken mm-hmm. things that people want, then yeah. I saw response increasing. So my little stab at trying to come up with some sort of original name for it, neurohormonal, which
it.
Now that I say it out loud is really hard to say.
It's a perfume.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's what we're going to do. We're going to come out with Reinvention Radio perfume. It will be a neurohormonal, like, eau de toilette or whatever it might be. All right, Dan, let me ask you this, because you're an expert. You've seen the best of the best, you know, the John Carltons and the, you know, all those guys over the years here. And I know you, you know, had a chance to work with and, you know, or appear to many of them. What is your single favorite direct response ad ever? Like, what did it say? Because I know, like, for me as a kid, I didn't even realize I was being subjected to it. But, like, I remember this to this day. There was a bus stop and the sign said the difference between a friend and a stranger is a conversation. And I don't know why that stuck with me all these years, but it did. So what's your favorite direct response ad ever, Dan?
Man, this goes way back. Before I even knew what copywriting was or direct response or any of that stuff, back when I was a skinny little short kid, it was the old Charles Atlas ad. Do you remember? You guys aren't old
enough.
Where they
kick the sand.
Oh, come on. I'm 40. Yeah. I'm 46. Rich is 31.
Oh, nice. Thanks. I love you.
Don't you even touch mine.
Are you kidding? I like my life.
No, so, where the big guy would come,
you guys
kick
are kids.
Would come kick the sand in the other guy's face.
Oh, that
right?
one, right?
That's the one,
That's
man.
The
there,
one.
I mean, there were several versions, but the one that I remember, it's so long ago, was the insult that made a man out of Mac. And, you know, and it showed the skinny guy getting the sand kicked in his face. And,
yeah. Yeah, I know exactly
pretty,
what you're talking
powerful
about.
Powerful ad.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. And, of course, you know, who do you want to be? Do you want to be the one getting the sand kicked in your face, or do you obviously want to be on the other end of that? And hopefully you're neither, but I totally get how that's emotion-based. And so we do end up talking a lot about features and benefits, and we forget that at the end of the day, it is always going to be about moving people into their emotions, whether it's, you know, fear or if it's, you know, desire or lust or, you know, whatever it might be. You have to play into those emotions, and that's the beautiful thing about what you're telling us here. So it's hard to believe, man, but we're coming up here, Jesus, at the end of our 99th episode. Oh my God, that means our next 100th episode. All right, so Dan, let's do this. How do people find out more information about you? Where do they go?
Best place to go is DobermanDan.com. I think I now have maybe close to 300 articles up there, and
wow,
and you can find out more about me there.
Yeah, awesome.
Cool.
All right, so DobermanDan.com, and this was neuro-hormonal copywriting, right? Something like that. Yeah, I love that. I love that. I got to tell you, it's probably and hands down, if you're a copywriter, you damn well better have the most creative, like, you know, episode name out
Even
of anybody.
If it's bullshit.
Even if it's bullshit. All right, Dan, thanks so much for joining us today, man, and obviously keep up the amazing work as well. All right, very
thanks,
cool.
Dan.
All right, guys, so here's where it gets pretty fun for us, which is the next episode. And by the way, that was a riot. Like that there's we got to figure
he's
out
good.
How to pull. Oh man, awesome.
He's
we got to figure out how to pull some of that into our 100th episode, but I expect miracles,
Kelly,
but
pull
yeah, Kelly,
some of that.
I know. Kelly, go. All right, so here's the deal. Again, for those who have subscribed and rated and reviewed to the show, either on iTunes or Stitcher, really, really do appreciate you doing that, and please make sure you do share it with your friends. Do be sure to grab a free copy of the 2016 Ultimate Directory of Influencers, which contains 241 of the world's most famous and popular and able folks to make you famous at the push of a button, powerful podcasters, big-time bloggers and social media stars at pushbuttoninfluence.com/Steve. All right, you guys, are you ready for this?
Yes.
Are you ready for this?
Kelly,
this
are you ready for
are
this?
Are you ready for this? Oh, my God. I've been thinking about this for at least the last 3 minutes. I mean, I am so excited about this next episode because we are going to be doing our 100th episode next.
Yay!
Here on Reinvention Radio. All right, guys, thanks so much. And for Mary Goulet, Rich Ortega, White Wade, and Kelly Poker, I'm Steve Ulsher, and we'll talk to you guys next time.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Ulsher, visit reinventionradio.com.